It's Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid. Back. Back at last.
Yeah.
I'm here with Tina. How are you doing, Tina?
I am good. I am really good. I'm excited that we're back.
I can't believe that we haven't sat down and done this in so long. We're so appreciative for all the emails you guys getting in touch, going, what's going on? When's it coming back?
And all the people we met who listened to the show while we've been at shows. It's amazing. And shout out to that gorgeous lady in Boston who was like, please.
Bring it back. Yeah. We've had a lot of that. And honest to God, I think taking a brief hiatus or break from the podcast allowed people to catch up on previous seasons of the show, because we've effectively covered every topic there is to cover in the three seasons of this show.
And you had no time.
I didn't have the time.
You hadn't time.
Obviously off touring America for most of April, and now I'm going through the UK this week. I'm in Birmingham, Cardiff, and Liverpool.
And Bristol.
Oh my God. They're basically all sold out, except for a few tickets in Liverpool and Cardiff, if you fancy coming along. But it has just been wild.
Yeah, it has been wild. Like, I was just sitting here looking at Jarlett, and I was thinking, I don't even remember what we've done, because it's such a blur. Like, everything just feels blurry and mushy.
Yeah, definitely. We were struggling a lot with jet lag when we got back. The plan was to get straight back into things, but it took about 2 weeks for me not to feel like I was... I felt like basically ill the whole time, kind of submerged a little bit.
Yeah, and it was understandable for you to feel like that, because you'd been doing all the shows.
You'd just been sitting inside a stage having the crack. No, Tina's working on each of these shows. If you don't know, Tina's also my manager.
I am.
In the home and on the stage.
I thought you were going to say in the bedroom.
In the bedroom. Most definitely in the bedroom. No clue what I'm doing in there. I need a manager at all times, micromanaging me.
Shut up.
I don't know how you do what you do as the management side of this, because it is all-encompassing. It's all the time.
Never ending.
Never
but you
ending.
Know what? I'm just so happy that it's going well, because I miss my old job so much. Yeah, I miss working with kids.
If you don't already know, Tina's background is, of course, in early learning, severe behavioral issues. That's what qualifies her to help you when you email honeyyouruiningourkid@gmail.com. 20 years, Tina. I mean, of course you're going to miss
it. Yeah, I really miss working with children. I really do. And but like, I love this. This is a really big adventure we're on. But just to say for a second, Jarlett doesn't know who Miss Rachel is. And this is kind of like has blown my mind. Just before we press play.
Am I going to be the only person on this?
I don't know
listening
how
to this right now.
I don't know how you don't know who Miss Rachel is. It's unbelievable. Like, she's like modern day Mary Poppins. Like, kids, there's videos trending every day of kids who like won't smile until they see her face.
Really?
Yeah, she's amazing.
But I always find that it's odd to me that people don't know who Nikola Jokic is. People will be going, who's that? He's one of the greatest basketball players ever to have lived. He's like changed the game of basketball. No, don't know him. And I'm sure Miss Rachel has probably changed the game of parenting. Is that her thing?
Well, I don't know about that, but she's definitely like, she's got this gorgeous show that she does where she does all the sounds and the numbers with kids and sings songs with
them.
That's
what she does.
Yeah, but she's also very brave in her voice. Okay. She's not afraid to use her voice. She gets a lot of stick, but okay. I just can't believe you don't know her.
I'll do my research on her. We're back in the office now, so keep the emails coming in. We're going to try and push this out right through to the summer and prepare you and help you for what is the most challenging time of the parenting year, aside from Christmas, is trying to keep these little darlings entertained, in the case of teens, for 3 months.
I know. No one in England ever believes,
ever believes it.
I'm like, yeah, Mikey gets his holidays at the end of the month. They're like, what? Home for 3 months. I mean, it doesn't think of the parent at all. But I mean, for the child, it's fabulous. But for the parent, it's like, how am I going to take care of you every day?
And it's going to throw up all kinds of questions. And everything that you've been putting on the long finger as a parent is going to come back in the next few months. So what better time to get Honey, You're Ruining Your Kid back up and running. And today we've 3 amazing questions for you. We've got it all listed in the info what each question is. But if you've got a bad traveler or a kid that's an issue on a plane or in a car, you'll need to listen to this episode. Is your teen throwing tantrums, or is your little one throwing tantrums? It's all covered in today's episode of Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid. Tina, it's great to be back.
It's great to be back.
Hello. Okay. Tina's just shown me the Miss Rachel videos of kids just beaming at the sound of this woman's voice. I now understand who Miss Rachel is.
I have no idea how
children's
it
entertainer
to.
And educator.
She's an educator, yeah. She
does these videos. Are they on TV or are they on YouTube only?
She started off on YouTube, but like there's dolls and clothes and she goes on morning shows.
Why do they love her so much,
well,
do you think? These
thing.
Are tiny little babies.
Yeah, well, it's that thing I'm telling you about, the game show host. Hmm. She's cracked it. She has shown, like, I really hope parents are paying attention. You can get your kid. She's leading with happiness,
energy,
everything's fun.
Positivity.
Positivity radiates out of this lady. Hmm. And babies and little toddlers love that. And you can trick them. I don't mean to use that word trick, but you are kind of manipulating them into doing
They're
things
kids.
Just with that energy. Like, there's a reason why they love her. They want to feel happy around the grown-ups they're around.
Yeah, and when you hear parents talking to their kids like grown-ups, you're going to have to eat your food before we go outside. Miss Rachel is like, you know what we gotta do. You look like you're crazy.
Yeah, but...
But that's not the point.
Your child is not going to a great Montessori or earlier setting if the teacher is not doing Miss Rachel at least some parts of her day.
Yeah.
You have got to have that energy. Like, Miss Rachel, to me, just has it down.
Is that tiring,
She's
though?
Baby whispering. I don't know, because you get such positivity from the kids. Like, they're just beaming at
faces.
You. They're so happy. They're like, this person just wants to make us happy today. Everything's fun. Why wouldn't we do it? Like, I mean, it works. I know it works because I've been doing it my whole life. And
Why
I know
does it work is the next question.
I think it's that thing where they feel like kind of excited. This is fun. Yeah. We're really safe. This woman's going to make their day better.
Yeah.
Like, she's
you don't
smiling.
Need to worry. Yeah.
I mean, smiling is a language in itself. Like, smiling at your kid from the minute they're born is so important.
Mm.
Make sure their resting face is happy. You know?
Resting sulky kid face, though, is
but you see that
epidemic across the world.
Oh, you see it, and you know what? It breaks my heart because you just know that kid
they're
has.
Not getting smiled
they're
at.
Not getting smiled at enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it is great advice I got off my sister-in-law that when your baby wakes up, make sure the first thing they see is your smile.
Yeah, you know? What an amazing piece of advice.
And it really worked.
They think it's a positive thing that they've woken up then.
Yeah.
This first question of the day, though, relates to tantrums, and they're often, when you see a kid throwing a tantrum, you wonder who did he see throwing the toys out of the pram. But it's not really the case, is it? The tantrum.
No, there's so many. There's always a reason for behaviors.
Yeah,
but I mean, I, you know what I'm like when I see a kid throwing a tantrum. I'm always impressed.
By the child.
By the child. I really am. I love to observe it. I'm like, you know, I obviously...
On what level are you impressed?
Well, if they're standing up for themselves, I'm impressed. And you have to be so careful about squashing that. But if they're just having like an absolute meltdown because they're not getting their own way, you kind of can't react. You got to navigate that tantrum. Because your reaction is going to make the next tantrum what it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know? But... This next email, I feel so bad about it because this is a lady who's been in touch before.
Mm-hmm.
And we had so many emails coming in and out while we were on the break. And some of them didn't get seen until this week. And I felt so bad because this woman, when Jared reads
but
it
that's
out,
a really rare occurrence, Tina.
It
very
is
hard
rare,
on yourself because Tina's back to everybody who emails the show. Honey, you're in your kid.
But when you read it, they're going to know why I feel bad because she's like completely at the end of her tether.
Okay, well, let's hit it. Hi, Tina. I was in touch a few months ago about my strong-willed four-year-old son. We've tried everything, or so I thought, and things are improving hugely. But in the last 3 weeks, and this is a thing, right? You know what's coming, a regression in behavior. And I know parents listen to this and they're like, that's what we're living through. The last 3 weeks, behavior's really gone downhill to the point where we have been called to the Montessori 3 times because of his emotional outbursts. He's been kicking, biting, hitting his teachers and flying into a rage. Constantly. The reason is the same each time, which is going to be a positive in terms of you dealing with this.
Yes.
If we can identify that this is his trigger. He plays with something.
Yeah.
He puts it down. He plays with something else and comes back to the first things 30 minutes later. But of course, someone else is playing with it, understandably. Mm-hmm. And then he loses the plot. I would say loses his shit, but she's gone with the word plot and starts screaming.
Right.
And then it's a full meltdown. He has gotten to the point where I feel that the Montessori are considering asking him to stay at home indefinitely. Oh. I'm at a complete loss. We've tried incentives, consequences, one-to-one time, reminding him of how much we love him, reading books about emotions, The Color Monster, Tina's favorite.
I love it.
How Do You Feel Today? Another classic. I don't know if you do one-to-one sessions with parents, Tina. She doesn't at the moment.
No.
But if you do, I'd really like to book one in. This is taking over our lives and completely disrupting our family life. And that's the other side of this,
isn't
it?
Well, of course it is, because, you know, the whole joy of Montessori or early years for the child, for the parent, sorry, is that for a few hours you get to just relax and know your child's safe. This mom isn't getting that relaxed time because she's worried they're going to be on the phone going, he's after melting down again. Now, there is a positive to his meltdowns at his earlier setting in that he feels extremely comfortable there.
Yeah, he's not bottling it.
Yeah, he's content.
The opposite.
You know, he's not trying to not act himself. And I know that's a weird positive to take from this, but in a way, he actually really likes his teachers in the earlier setting, or he wouldn't feel free enough to outbursts like that because
he's expressing himself.
Yeah, so that's the only positive there I can think of, because that behavior is quite extreme and I feel awful for her. Biting, kicking, screaming. Like, this is a very upset child who feels a real unfairness. And
specifically around turn taking.
Which
is, that common?
Is not unusual. Like, we're all coping with that. I mean, you're still pretty bad at it.
I still have a problem with
you're
it.
You're terrible.
My goat.
I mean, turn taking. I mean, most kids can't cope with it. Some of them are very good at trying, but most of them can't. And the advice for this woman, though, I mean, first of all, I'm so sorry that this situation in Montessori, that is very hard for any parent. I mean, basically, he's could be asked to leave his earlier setting.
First thing I would say on that,
you know,
one,
all about that, Charlotte.
Yes, I do.
Charlotte was asked
definitely
to leave.
Definitely put outside a couple of times. But
you went
through
a lot of different.
She said that they're considering. She feels like they're considering. Mm. They may not be at all. They may not be at
well,
all. Your paranoia as a parent in this situation is everybody's thinking this. Everyone's thinking that.
Yeah.
Most people aren't thinking what you think they're thinking. Some judgmental fuckers are.
Yeah.
But I would say the school is more patient than she gives them credit.
You would hope.
You'd hope.
You'd hope.
But just to say that
to
her, to kind of go, don't worry.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to boot him because they don't want you saying, when my kid was going through this and they kicked him out of the school. Yeah. That would be terrible for their reputation.
And also, you would hope, like, I've never met a teacher yet who isn't in a teacher meeting with other teachers discussing a child like this and not trying to figure out a way to help them.
Solve it. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it would be very unusual for a school to say he can't come here anymore. And that is more a mark of the teachers than your kid.
I love making this podcast, by the way, just so you know. I love these chats. This, I really feel like you're going to help this lady here because turn taking.
Well, I haven't helped her so far.
Right. Well, let's get into the advice specifically around the turn taking. If we know that this is the thing. 30 minutes later, after playing with a toy, he returns to the toy to find another child playing with it, and that sets him off. What's the first thought on that, Tina?
Well, she needs to talk about that a lot.
Right.
They need to be talking about it and practicing. This is a kid who needs to play games at home with his family. They need to practice, you know, start small, Uno, Connect Four, games that have very quick turn taking. Build it up, you know, to, I don't know, what other games are there? Catan, that's a bit...
Sure, well, a little small scale of my go, your go.
Yes.
We wait for our go, and then we have another go of it. So it could be just something as simple as throwing balls.
Oh, absolutely. And also, have all the aspects of the conversation of turn-taking. How sometimes there is an unfairness to it. As sometimes it won't work out.
Someone's go is longer than your go.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're better at it.
And you have to wait. But what this lady and actually the school need is to use the de-escalation script. And that is a technique I learned in the school I went to, I worked in England. I worked with a fabulous teacher there, Rachel Rowe, who I just thought was like the best teacher I've ever worked with in my life. And she developed this de-escalation script for the kids. And I really saw it work in real time with children who are really struggling. And what it is she recognized that in those moments of proper meltdowns, that the child just needs you to hear them. They need to feel heard. And so the first thing is you get down to their level and you calmly just say their name. And it sounds so silly, but actually saying someone's name and being at their level can just kind of stop them in the moment of going.
Yeah, it's how the cops would talk somebody off a ledge.
Yeah, you know.
Find out his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it's recognizing, labeling their emotion and not as a bad thing. So it's saying to them, I can see you are so angry about this. You feel this is unfair. You know, just helping them to label what they're feeling. You know, all the time, just staying calm. Don't go to their level. You are like, this hurt your feelings. You're very, very angry. And that's okay. And it is okay for your child to feel angry. There's so much at the moment of you can't be sad, you can't be angry, you need to be happy and calm. But of course you have to get angry about certain things. Of course you do. And of course you're going to have times when you're sad. So your child needs to know, yeah, I'm feeling angry right now and that's okay. So it's important for you to hear.
The de-escalation script has probably been a bit maligned in recent years because you would see it in a movie or in a TV show where it's like, oh my God, just tell the kid to stop doing that.
Yeah.
And they're like, look at this, you know, new agey person going, Sean, I can see you're angry. But that kind of media really undermines what is, I've heard you talk, seen you do this.
Yeah, I do it all the time. Works. This is something I really put into practice straight away because it does work. And it's a really useful tool because what it does is it gets you out of the situation way faster than just waiting for the kid to calm down.
Right.
Because, I mean, when you're working with a 3- and 4-year-old, if you're expecting them to just calm down, that could take a long time and they might only calm down because they're so exhausted.
Yeah.
So then it's distraction, you know. You're not going to deal with whatever it is in that moment because that is going to upset them again. So once you have them calm, don't start talking about
the thing again.
You needed to wait.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, don't drilling do them. That yet. Yeah. Take them away. Go somewhere else, turn on the tap, let them play with the water, get them to a calmer place and later say, I know it was hard for you to wait your turn.
Yeah.
And you got so angry. And when you were angry, you used your hands and your mouth and your feet and you hurt some people and that's not okay. We cannot do that. Mm. When you feel angry, we need to figure out a way for you to help yourself not get angry at other people. So let's think of things we can do. Maybe we can count to 10. Maybe we can take deep breaths. Maybe you can come to the teacher and ask for help. You know, it's my job to help you.
So you think they might be getting a bit caught up in the, when she's going straight to this is the trigger, that they might be focusing too much on the trigger and getting too into when somebody has a toy, you take your turn. That like actually, you're saying go underneath that to we'll get to sharing and all of that. We'll work on that all the time.
Keep that for later. Do not address it again in the moment. All you're going to do with that kid is bring them right back to why they were angry.
Yeah, and you get into a Mexican standoff then.
And look, the reason the teachers are struggling isn't the turn taking and stuff. It's when he gets to the angry place, they are then away from the rest of the class because he's hissing and biting and kicking them. Who's minding the rest of the kids? It's probably chaos. This is what parents don't know is that when one kid is acting like that, the other kids will take advantage of the situation. Yeah. So the teacher is really stressed out because they're like trying to calm this kid down, keep him safe, keep all the other kids safe. And then they're aware that, oh my God, they're running around the classroom. They're going wild right now.
So it's de-escalation script right away.
Yeah.
And then it's distract.
Then distract.
It's like they hear you're angry. I can see that.
Yeah. If they go calm at all while you're talking to them, hold their hand, tell them you got something to show them, bring them away.
Bring them away.
Bring them away. Do something else. Get them doing something with their hands. Get them, you know, brushing the floor, washing a table, something, and just something that's very calming and they don't even know, you know, they're just doing something and they're Play-Doh, brilliant, you know. They're doing something and they're not in the place they were and they're not angry. But
we all feel overwhelmed. Like when I read this, I thought about the amount of overwhelm I felt in the last couple of months in terms of everything that we've had going on. The main reason that we paused the podcast was I was writing a book.
Yeah.
This book is now written. We're in the editing process of it. But it all just got on top of me.
Yeah.
And you were very good at spotting that, like, well, you're going to need to fuel up. And maybe you're not. Your nutrition is a bit off. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think that in terms of kids that were doing this regularly in the classroom, was is it possible that he's hungrier than we realize? He's growing very fast, and that when we all feel like I'm gonna blow, it's usually just pre-lunch or
It's a really possible? Good point, and also the sleep can affect it too.
Okay,
when this lady sent this email, I mean, it was a few weeks after the time change, and I always think the time change is the worst thing that can happen to any parent of a toddler, because all of a sudden their sleep's interrupted and their behaviours go downhill for a few weeks after that hour. I really hate it, because in a classroom you just know things are going to get trickier now for a few weeks until they calm down after this hour change. I hate it. But the fueling is so important, and that's why in a Montessori classroom there's a snack table open at all times, because we're so aware the kid needs to eat all the time to have energy and be in good form. So if that isn't available to this kid, I would definitely suggest it, because they're growing so fast and it's very hard to regulate your emotions if you're not feeling full or you're feeling hungry. And they don't even know what hungry is. They're just feeling like a little bit like strung out, you know. They're like, I've got to pain in my tummy now and I feel tired,
and now this this toy that I wanted is being used.
Yeah.
And I left it there. The other thing is, he's obviously got the rule of the roost at home, in terms of when he plays with a toy at home, it's there for him when he comes back to it. Am I right on that? That, like,
I don't know. Like, you know, sometimes he might just have an unfairness about school. You know, there might be certain toys at school that he doesn't have at home that he really loves to play with.
So your thing about just talk about the day.
Yes.
Is like, you, this is the now and next thing that Tina's always, kind of the show could be called Now and Next, to be honest with you. Because actually, I've never, until we started making this podcast, realized exactly how calming it is for your kid to know what's next.
Yeah.
How long is left on this and what's next. And whenever you're in a supermarket or restaurant, it's usually people scooping a child up without warning and telling them that's done now.
Oh, yeah. No, no. I'm forever doing that. I'm like, they just didn't warn that kid. They just gave him no notice. Mm. Like, give your child notice. Just say, you know what? Now we're doing this. In a few minutes, we're doing that. That's all they need. They just need now, next, the whole time. You know what I did say to this mom, though? I really feel like this kid is screaming out for a sensory diet.
Okay.
That he needs some sense.
Explain that again. What's a sensory diet again?
Well, I mean, very easy to look up on the internet for anyone who is tuning in, because each child is so individual that you need to figure out the exercises that will work for your kids. But really, it's just a kind of a routine of exercises that you will use for your kids to help them feel calm, sensorial exercises, and just help them feel more able to cope and manage with the day. Now, a lot of schools and early settings now have sensory rooms.
Yeah.
Sensory rooms. Why couldn't I say
sensory?
Sensorial, I was about to say. But these, I always feel like every child needs these. Like, sometimes they're only for the kids who are acting up. But I'm like, every single kid would benefit from, every single grown-up would benefit from these. And really, it just involves, you know, you get one of those therapy balls, rolling on the ball, having the ball rolled over you, pushing that ball up the wall, squeezing against it, you know, getting stretchy toys, two people stretching them out, squeezy balls, squeezing them in your hands.
Yoga and Pilates are grown-up sensory diet.
Maybe. I don't know. But also brushing. Brushing can be so, like, all these things. You can get brushes for teeth. Like, this is a biter. There's every chance chance that he is just overstimulated in his mouth right now. He might not even be biting because he's angry, but more the fact that he just needs to bite. You know?
Well, we have to leave that question there, but to give this parent the credit and give everyone who's listening the credit. If you're listening to this show and you're asking these questions, you're on it.
Yeah.
You give yourself the credit. You are, this person is investing in it and taking the time to email the show. You know, you're one up already.
Yeah.
It is going to
your child
to get
is
better.
Very lucky because you're actually thinking about it. You're not just going, oh, he'll stop. You're thinking, well, what's causing this? And that's really great because there's always something causing it. And once you find the cause, you will find the help you need in the behavior.
Have to give a big shout out to listener and friend of the show, Steve Daly.
Steve Daly is a legend. He is my favorite
person. Here's the thing. We appreciate all our listeners, particularly the listeners that take our transatlantic flight back from Toronto to Dublin and goes, you guys, you're going to fly business class.
Yeah. Steve That's Daly did that. And now,
he did that.
Now
used his
step
points.
Back 1 minute. He did it's that for better. Jarlett it's and fun. Mikey.
So he only had two upgrades. He upgrades.
But
me
he
and
still
Mikey,
did that.
Me and Mikey go business class. Yeah. And that was incredible. And Tina
Tina got to go too because when we went up to the lady at Aer Lingus.
Aer Lingus, shout out to
Aer Lingus. Incredible too. In Toronto. She felt Toronto. So sorry
she
for
did.
Me.
Rightly so.
She was like, it's just the boys in business class.
Yeah, so let me get this straight. Your husband
and your child
and your son.
Your ticket doesn't seem to be. And
okay,
I'm like,
well, I'll fix that.
Yeah,
now.
That's what she said. She said, I'll fix that
and
now.
You're
and
like,
I was
oh
like,
oh my God, she's going to do it for free.
Yeah.
It wasn't for free.
It wasn't for free, but it wasn't that bad.
It was
actually.
Good as. Yeah. And
Steve Daly was so kind to do that.
So the reason I bring it up is not just to tell y'all.
Yeah, we're so excited for this very relaxing journey home.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like when you go in there, like that really is what it's all about.
Yeah.
We're talking about travel and holidays coming up here. It's something that I never thought I'd get to do.
Yeah.
Business class.
Yeah.
Like we go in, set up a little pod of your own.
Yeah.
Feed up the drinks. It's everything you could imagine it's going to be.
It was the best part of the trip.
We kind of knew it was going to be.
The trip was incredible.
But then these little toddlers started arriving in. I was like, these are some rich toddlers.
There were five and they all had their own seats.
I don't know who these toddlers are. They influencers?
Like, there was five babies under the age of
with their
two.
Own seats.
With their
not
own seats.
Not on the laps
seats.
Of their own
And we're
seat.
Stressing their own seat part because at no point did they sit in their own seat.
God.
And like, I love babies, so I'm all here for it. But these babies, there was a lot happening.
Yeah.
Definitely. There was a lot of parents who had not, you cannot blame the kids.
No.
These parents had not prepared for the journey. Like, what is going on with that? First of all, you know. If you got a kid on the plane, you've got to take care of the ears the whole time.
Yeah, because
they hadn't taken care
of
their
ears.
You mean
like the ear popping?
Yeah, so they need to be, you know,
a lot. What do
you mean
take care of the ears? How do you do that?
Well, you know, bottles. Make sure they're sucking on something the whole time. Lollipops, sweets, something. Because it is actually horrific, the pain little kids go into on planes. Because they're so nasally all the time.
The crying started early doors.
Well, one particular, like, we're probably, these parents were definitely Irish. They definitely knew who we were. They, one of them listened
to
the podcast.
Do you know who I am? I said to them, do you know who I am?
One of them listened to the podcast. So if they're listening in, they know we're talking about you. And I'm sorry. And we're not a judgment podcast. But I did see an alarming thing. Okay, one parent just decided, or an hour into the flight, you're going to sleep to the kid. Like, I think you're on a flight, you're kind of going to have to hope that they fall asleep, but you can't make them. Now, we have seen before, years ago, like 15 years ago, we flew to Kentucky, and we saw parents basically overdosed their kids
on
Dozol.
Drug them.
It was awful. Like, the kid was so sick.
Dosed up, suddenly, douche.
So
gone.
Sick after that. Ugh. But this parent decided, just like on a whim, and it wasn't the mother.
So
sorry,
strange.
I am not biased to moms, but the dad just decided that this kid should go see right now. And I was like, you're on a flight. Okay, whatever. Don't judge. Always in my head, I'm going, don't judge. Everyone does it their own way. But at a certain point, I nearly had to intervene because the kid was screaming so loud because the dad was holding him down.
Like in a wrestling pin.
With his whole body forcing him
to lie down.
To go to sleep. And this kid was maybe 1.5.
Oh my God. He's a grown ass man.
Yeah. And I was like, this is not working. This is not going to work. And, you know, I did feel a bit sorry for the dad because obviously everyone's watching. Everyone's horrified. Yeah. Charlotte didn't see it because Charlotte's in his own little
Had the Apple AirPod Max on, which have an amazing noise cancelling function.
I'm directly at a diagonal to them.
Uh-huh.
So I'm seeing the whole thing and I'm like, at a certain point, this is now... this is too much. And I'm aware the dad has wrapped himself up in, you know, I've started this, I have to keep going.
I've started pinning my baby to the ground.
Yeah, he has to go to sleep.
You know, I've got to get him to tap out at the
very
least.
But he does that thing, which is the whole reason the kid is probably like this. Anyway, he gives up, you know?
You think he should have kept going?
No.
Until he got a submission?
But like, no, okay, so I don't know what I'm saying, but like, I don't mean
but
that.
As
but like,
in he clocked out of the attempt to get sleep to happen, went back to his seat and started watching a film.
Yeah, like, so why did you do it all in the first place?
It was bananas.
It was bananas.
But, you know, maybe it will give some form
But what happened was the kid was too afraid to leave their seat again. So the dad was sitting behind them. Anyway, it was
awful. You don't
want
to get pinned.
And I was just thinking, look, if there's one thing we can say on the podcast today, if you're going to fly with your kid and if you can afford to fly them in first class, business class, whatever it's called, you still need a plan.
Right.
You need a plan. You do not get to enjoy business class like people who don't have kids.
Let me jump in.
You need puzzles, books, games, bottles, sweets. Have a plan. Come on.
And also, like, we've had so many emails on this around poor travellers, kids that refuse to do as they're told, whether it's in a car, on a bus, a train, getting up. And you've seen the TikTok videos of these random kids running up and down the aisles on the flight.
Yeah, I love them.
You love it.
I'm always hello. I'm the annoying stranger who makes friends with your kid.
Oh, my God. Tina's the one who looks through the chair and starts doing, hi. I'm Miss Rachel. And you are the closest thing to Miss Rachel they've ever seen.
Yeah.
So you're sitting next to her and this kid is like now part of our journey. The parent isn't enjoying it.
No.
You're enjoying it. The kid's enjoying it.
Oh, do you remember that course? Is that what you're talking about? The little kid on the plane? It was so cute.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of it. There was a lot of adorable teen interactions with kids. But it's an email we get all the time. So your first piece of advice for parents with a bad traveling kid who will always act up is the plan. Is that what you're saying? Have a plan
Bad traveler, good traveler. I'm sorry. They need a plan. You need activities. Activities! You do. And Jarlett knows. He's looking at me. No one hates playing more than me.
God.
I hate playing. I'm an early years teacher and I love teaching kids stuff. I love
definitely
if it's
like
educational, I'm
playing
in.
Playing with figurines.
Oh my God, I hate play so much. I have no time for it. I cannot make myself do it. And Mikey was so lucky because Jarlett loves playing.
Yeah, I'd be on all fours doing Captain Hook and the TikTok Croc.
For hours.
And all it would be was repetition. Same exact thing. Yeah. Oh my God, where's the treasure? Here comes the crocodile.
I just don't have the energy for it. You need a lot of energy.
Tina's clasping the center of her nose in between her eyes going, oh my God, guys, can you keep it down, please?
Can Captain Hook die now?
I am trying. Yeah.
I will read books with your kid all day long. I will sing with your kid. I will do puzzles. But actual play, I can't cope. I'm
it's
just
not
like,
for you.
Oh my God.
So when you say the activity plan, Like, yeah. I think you nearly need to be able to tick it off that, like, if that doesn't work, then this.
Absolutely,
but what we're seeing and what we saw across the trip was, because, like, look.
Zero plan.
The trip was, you're talking about flying this summer. We flew Dublin to Vancouver, then went from Vancouver
to Portland, to Seattle,
to San Francisco, to LA, to Boston, to New York, to Washington, D.C., to Toronto. Every single person resorted to the screen straight away.
Yes.
Every single one. Bar one, there was one group that we saw who were like, it wasn't even on the table to have. You mightn't even remember this, but there was one family.
Oh, were they on the train? They were amazing. They were incredible.
Yeah, we got a train. Remember that?
Yeah.
My God, it's all such a blur. But wasn't even on the table. We're not judging anybody for putting kids on screens.
Absolutely.
It's obviously happening too much. We all know it.
I used Tractor Ted loads of times when I needed to get Mikey to eat.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's the first port of call for so many parents. And what it is, it reminds me of when I'm in a stand-up club and somebody would say to the crowd, shut the fuck up, when they'd walk on. The crowd is being rowdy and they go, shut the fuck up. And I was like, yeah, you have to hold that card back.
Yes.
That card needs to be held. That screen card is your, I think if it's held back, it's powerful and
screens
useful.
Are part of life. There's something we now use with our kids. But we are also incredibly aware they are harmful for our kids' development if they're on them too long. And also, you are guaranteed a meltdown the minute that screen goes. You're guaranteed. So, yeah, it might be a quick fix, but it is only prolonging an even bigger meltdown is going to happen the minute the screen goes.
So one thing I saw you do with our own son at the time when we were doing a lot of traveling back and forth from the UK was... I've got a surprise for you when we get on the flight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
You got a surprise to look forward to when we get on this flight. And it'll be like a colouring book.
Yeah, and you always kind of have to... You nearly need to set up the routine of how these flights work straight away.
Right.
But the reason why I said how much I hate play is because even I had to play on planes. And, like, I'm hating my life, but I'm doing it because I know, look, you got to do this. This is part of it. Also, don't underestimate how much they will just accept what you tell them happens on planes. Like, for ages, I was able to say to Mikey, when we get in the plane, you have your bottle and you go to sleep. And he would do that. Because he just thought that's how planes work.
That was when people looked at you like you knew black magic. Because he's getting on the plane preparing to put his feet up.
Yeah, no, but like honestly.
It was nuts.
Don't underestimate the power of your voice. Your child trusts you.
So you would say, bring me back there. You would say, so when we get on this flight.
Yeah, you're going to, mommy's going to give you a bottle. Because we did a lot.
Mommy's going to get a bottle of wine.
Well, we did a lot of solo flying back then because me and Mikey were going home a lot because I was so homesick and you were away a lot of weekends. So I would fly home and I'd be like, we're going to get on the plane now. I have your bottle ready for you. I've got your teddy bear. And when you have your bottle, you're to go to sleep. And he would just do that. He would just do it because he'd be like, well, I guess that's what I do.
But also, it, like you say, it was rehearsed. So sticking with a plan, a routine, your husband, your partner, whoever it is on side with.
Yes.
Stick with the routine and maybe this is an opportunity for
I
the
visual.
I definitely
found it easier traveling with him as a toddler when it was just me. You were always the one who would bring in the...
I was the bigger toddler.
Yeah, you were the upsetter of the routine.
Let's get him some Haribo. No, Jonah.
No, but...
That's not a plan.
Yeah.
There's no plan. Fucking idiot.
It's
when your wife is talking to you through her teeth.
Charlotte's joking, but I'd be like, you're not sitting beside Mikey on the plane.
Why? We like sitting next to each other. It was stepbrothers.
So I'm sitting in the middle, miserable, but knowing this is better than anything else because I'm just going to occupy this child and Charlotte's not going to get to hype him up and he's going to go sleep in 2 minutes and then I can relax.
Yeah, but you mentioned something really briefly there and we'll have to get on to our final question of the day after this is the hype up.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is every uncle's right and privilege. But the coolness, you know, I love hearing a kid laughing on a plane.
Yeah.
And I always hated when old Irish people would go, after he's laughing, he'll be crying. Mm. But it is so often the case, particularly on a long journey, if you take the energy levels to the ceiling, there's going to be a low. How do we keep our kids at that calmness that you ideally want for the whole flight?
Well, that is why the actual plan is important, because if you are ticking through a plan, and they can be involved in that process of going, and now we play cards, what's next on the list? Okay, now it's time to read our book. Okay, let's read our book. Now, what are we going to do? So, like, that is very calming for a child. Let's look at the time. How much longer are we on the plane? Okay, so let's do this now. Let them know what's happening. A lot of the time on these planes or trains or whatever, these kids are crying because they're like, I'm in the fucking air. No one has told them anything.
Why am I here?
They don't even know
how long this is going to be.
They don't even know if the plane is landing.
And then the screen, then, is it a case of leveraging the screen? Because, like, the reality is people are putting their kids on the screen. Do you then, are you suggesting that they leverage it and go, we'll do this, this, and this, and then it'll be time to watch our movie?
Absolutely. And, like, I really don't judge screens on planes at all. Because if that's what you need to do for your family, that's fine, but just be ready for the consequence of doing that. I mean, your kid is going to have a meltdown when they come off the plane, but if it works for you, that works for you. But I would definitely think it's preferable for the child if you work to it. They are going to prefer the engagement anyway. They're going to prefer you reading the story. They're going to prefer you playing with them. They are going to love that.
And as long as there isn't a woman looking through the gap on the chair going, hi, this is Tina.
The mom on that killed me. She was like, I'm trying to get this.
Would you fucking leave my kid alone, please?
Hi.
That kid.
Hello.
That kid was saying hello to me. But the mom really wants
the kid. The couldn't talk to him.
She was the cutest kid. I wanted to eat her. I was like, oh my God, she's so cute.
We would have had a mid-air incident. Yeah. A woman tried to eat this John. I am new to parenting a preteen. I need help. It's like a switch flipped. He is so moody and constantly acting like he knows better than everyone. He is mean to his siblings. I think the worst part of it is how irritated he is with life. Jealous of what others have, throwing tantrums when I ask him to do anything. I'm at such a loss. It angers me to the ends of the earth. Any and all advice appreciated, Tina. Love the show.
Well, I mean, welcome to the party. Welcome to the party. What is that song I love? What is it? How does it actually
go? That's certainly not going to be helpful for this woman, for you to dance while saying welcome to the party.
Welcome to the party. It's the song from Deadpool.
This is not why people have tuned in, Tina.
No. Look, teenagers are hard, and
this person isn't even a teen yet.
I think
it's a preteen.
Well, I think, you know, that is it. You know, the terrible trees are really the terrible twos. No, the terrible twos are now the terrible trees, right? Am I mixing it up? And now I think actually the preteen stage is actually worse than the teenager stage. And you think, oh my God, this is the rest of his teenage years. But genuinely, it's kind of short lived. They actually do come back around.
In some cases.
And having the understanding, of course, in some cases, what helped me the most in kind of learning more about this age group is understanding that they are a little bit out of their comfort zone in their own bodies. Like, there's so much testosterone, they're dealing with so much stuff. And just a little bit of understanding of that, when they're acting out, really helps you as a parent, because then it's not so personal, you know?
Well, I think the thing that we brought up earlier around food.
Oh, yeah. Food is a massive issue at this age. They are not fueling enough. Well, like, some kids are maybe fueling too much and not fueling the right food.
Yeah, they're taking in, you know, those high sugar things that produce a low sugar moment.
And it really affects them as teenagers because, like I said, their hormones are all over the shop.
Yeah, and many of them are just dicks. Like, it has to be said, Tina, as the layman of this podcast, some of these kids some of these kids are going to be dicks for a bit.
Yeah.
They're going to come back. This is what you're saying.
I wouldn't use that language. I definitely think that what happens to the mother is way more severe to in most cases than what happens to the dad. Right. In that they are like literally for years you've no personal space. They are your shadow. Mm. You are their everything.
Yeah.
You know, they can't do anything without you or telling
it's
you.
It's like they're breaking up with
and
you.
And when she says a switch has flipped, Tina Fey has said this, that, yeah, it is like they just broke up with you. It's like you're still in a relationship that they're not in anymore.
Why are you still here?
Yeah, you're pining for them. But honestly, I think it is short-lived. And when I say short-lived, I mean it's a few years. But in the grand scheme of things, they work it out, well, hopefully.
This is the fear, though, isn't it? That if you go the wrong route, there are grown-ups who still hold grudges against their parents for how they were with them when they were teens. And that's on all of these parents' minds. Because they're like, I've lost him. He's someone else now.
But again, here we have another mom who's actually asking about it and wondering about it. And these children are so lucky that they have parents who are this invested.
Yeah.
Like, I do think we have a greater understanding for what teenagers go through now. And a greater understanding for their need to for personal space, for their absolute like self-loathing they put themselves through. Like there, a lot of the anger is actually at themselves. It's just being projected onto you. And we're lucky to live in a time where there are online resources available for parents, which I actually find extremely helpful. Jigsaw in Ireland is amazing for parents. You can literally put anything into their search engine and it will come back with a technique for you to use to cope with your child's behavior at any time, which I have found game changing for, you know, just in terms of learning more about this age group, because we're definitely getting more questions about it. And it's not, I'll freely say, I don't have as much experience with teenagers.
Sure.
I mean, you know, my only experience is having one now. Mm. And our kid is like, we don't know if this is typical or if this
but you're doing an awful lot of reading around it. Yes. Tina, and you know, I see the work you're putting in. I'm obviously not doing any work at all, but
Charlotte is forever
trying my best.
Charlotte, a lot of eye roll moments.
Yeah,
because Charlotte's always telling me, well, actually I read in this book.
Well, I think that it's like the world got flipped on its axis in some ways, because everything I read says you have to get so good at being quiet.
Yes, that's the best advice I got was, okay, stop actually when they're talking to you, whatever it is in the moment, just listen. And if you can agree
or practice this noise.
Yeah, come back to it just as you would have with the toddler who's in the middle of a meltdown. Be in the moment. Come back to that actual behavior later. Talk about that when they're calm. But while they're expressing their anger, actually just listen. Just be someone that they can express their feelings to, unless it's violent. I mean, you can't allow your teenager to be throwing things at you and slamming doors and stuff like that.
The book I've gone to time and time again is How to Talk So That Teenagers Will Listen, and How to Listen So That Teenagers Will Talk. It's a bestseller. I'm not like giving a tip off to some out there book. This thing's sold millions of copies.
The audiobook is hard to listen to, though.
Yeah, well, you're just not a fan of American people talking to you at length.
Her voice is very hard to listen.
Well, it's a little bit like that.
Yeah.
How? And I know. And yeah, audiobooks mightn't be your thing, but you're going to need it as a reference as well. Yeah. I do remember us having a book by our bed about parenting an only child.
Oh, God.
Mikey spotting it.
Yeah, taking you
and being
defense.
Like, okay. That's how it is. So we're reading books about me.
He took such offense.
Okay. I'm a little experiment, am I?
I was like, we're trying to be good parents.
Trying our best. Like, that's a sentence, though, that, I don't know what gets through here, because I can really feel the desperation off the email. Because
I feel awful. Well, it is. She's mourning her kid. And I can relate. We've all been through it. But the only thing I can say is that if you are there for them, and if you are able to just do your own reading and, you know, try and understand why they're behaving like this. I mean, I think teenagers right now have it harder than they've ever had it before. Yeah,
there is certain pressures and stresses that we don't really understand or know. And the lack of...
Not helpful. Adolescence, amazing show, but not helpful really. I mean, that thing scared the bejakers out of me. Out of a lot of
parents.
Out of every mom I've ever spoken to, they're like, holy
right,
shit.
Right, well, Tina, let's go back to the stuff that you do know.
Yeah.
Sincerely works and have watched work. And whenever we're having this... with a younger kid, the family meeting is the first place you go.
For teenagers, and way more important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when if you're having a moody individual in the house, or even in your flat, sharing situation, is it down about have a chat about what's acceptable?
Absolutely.
How is this place run?
And really, what are you trying to establish with family meetings? You're trying to establish an actual pattern in your family where you talk about things. Mm. Nothing's just kept. So hopefully what happens with family meetings is they become a natural thing that happens over dinners.
Yeah.
You know, but family meetings are so important. But what is the rule of a family meeting? As the grown-ups, you cannot react.
Yeah.
You have to be ready to swallow what they say. Mm-hmm. And be fair about it, and you come back to it at another time.
And they need to know that they can't react in the family meeting too.
Mm.
That it's a place where it's a mediation. You know?
It's where we express what is upsetting us, and we try and figure out a way of moving through it.
So you work out reapply the family rules, mm-hmm. the house rules. They get to suggest a rule.
Yeah.
You get to suggest a rule.
You suggest more rules than them. The power dynamic has to be more in the favour of the parents. Right. You're being kind, allowing them to have a rule.
Yeah. I don't think you're allowed to burst into my room whenever you like. Well, I think I'm allowed to search your room if I think there's a problem.
I think if a child says that, that's fair enough. Who isn't knocking before they enter their teenager's bedroom?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it was a bad example. I'm not bursting into my kid's room anytime I like. But I've talked to other parents about the idea that everybody has access to everyone's phone.
Oh, yeah. Well, your teenager needs to know that you're going to be looking at their phone, because the one thing that will save them from is writing something
they regret forever.
If they know she's going to check, they're less likely to write something awful about somebody or in some group. I mean, the WhatsApp groups are bananas.
I know.
And like, they're not messaging.
We're really in the Wild West phase of these WhatsApp groups.
The messaging isn't getting through to these kids not to write things that they'll regret. I had the biggest lesson of that in my whole life. I was 14.
Sure. You committed something to paper.
I wrote a letter
that
to a boy I was in love with.
They think that these messages, though, I don't want you to bury your soul on this letter again.
It was awful. It was like a funny letter. It was like, hi.
I'm trying to be silly.
Yeah. Oh my
God. I blame your brother for signing off on it.
Oh my God. Massive
brother,
regret.
You read it to your brother. Your brother thought it was funny. He said, go ahead, send it.
Yeah, my brother thought it was hilarious.
My older brothers, don't listen, right?
Yeah.
This is such a wide-ranging subject and so tough, but on that basic thing of the fear of what they're doing on their phones, we're going to have to come back to in our next episode. Because if your kid thinks, well, I have disappearing messages set on,
doesn't matter, gone forever.
Be screen grabbed.
Yeah. And I can't say anything to our kid without him going, okay, mom, because he thinks I know nothing about technology. And
well,
I don't know
that's most
a lot.
Parents' situation, yeah.
I don't know a lot, but he really thinks everything. Like if I said to him, disappearing messages aren't gone forever, he'd be like, okay, mom, sure. Yeah, cool, mom.
Yeah, well.
And then if you say it, he's like, yeah, dad, of course.
Well, that's why if that is the situation that people are in.
I don't help myself, though, you know, because then I'll say something really silly and he'll be like, see, this is why I can't take it seriously.
You take a wild swing at certain things.
I do. Geography.
So I think definitely we shouldn't try and cut this one short. We should come back to this.
Next week.
Guys, thank you so much for all the emails. Thanks for being in touch
and
staying
with us. Thanks for the
support. And we will, it's great to be back. Yeah. I'll see you on the road. If you're coming to the show in Birmingham, Cardiff, Liverpool, we have one massive show in Dublin where I'm going to film the brand new stand-up special.
In the Helix,
June 14th. It's a Saturday night.
We kind of haven't told anyone about this show.
No, it's a pretty low-key affair.
Yeah.
But it's also the biggest
biggest room I've ever played.
But we forgot to tell anyone about it. Yeah, so we're telling you about it.
We're telling you about it now. So come on down. There's lots more dates all over at jigzer.com/gigs. And make sure you're following Honey or Ear Kid on Instagram for more updates and fun.
I still think jigzer.com is the stupidest.
Thank you. Thanks for the encouragement. I love you too. Thanks, love Dina. You.